Kemet Radio.
Writing was a sacred and godly practice by the ancient Egyptians. Carved in stone and written on papyrus is a whole world of wisdom, tales of great people, journeys to the afterlife, and much more. Join us as we unravel the scroll and decipher the hieroglyphs to discover ancient Egyptian literature. King Khufu and the Tales of the Hekai Magicians. One day, when King Khufu reigned over the two lands, he said to his chamberlain who stood before him, "Go call to me my sons and my counselors, so I may ask them a question." And this was done as commanded. When they came and stood before his majesty, they were asked by the king, "Know you a man who can tell me the tales of the deeds of the Hekai magicians of the two lands?" The royal son Khafra stood forth and said, "I will tell your majesty a tale of the days of our forefather Nebka the Blessed, of what came to pass when he went into the temple of Ptah at Ankhtaui." Tale of Khafra. His majesty, walking in the temple of Ptah with his entourage, and went into the house of the chief lector Uba'aner. The wife of Uba'aner came to greet them, and when she saw a servant of the king, her heart went out to him. Later she sent a servant to him with a present of a box of garments. The servant of Nebka returned to the home of the chief lector with his wife's servant. The servant said to the wife of Uba'aner, "In the garden of Uba'aner there is a house. Let us take our pleasure therein." So the wife of Uba'aner called the steward over the garden, "Let the house in the garden be made ready." When this was done, they entered the house in the garden and remained there, where they drank and made pleasure until the sun went down. When the evening came, the servant of Nebka came from the garden house to the pool to bathe. The steward of the garden then said, "I must go and tell Uba'aner of this matter." The next morning the steward went before Uba'aner and told him of all that occurred. Then said Uba'aner, "Bring me my casket made of ebony and electrum." And this was done. The lector Uba'aner opened his casket and brought forth his wax, and fashioned from it a crocodile 7 fingers long. The lector put his Hekau magic into it, and spoke the command, "When the servant of Nebka comes to bathe in my pool, seize him." He gave the waxen crocodile to his steward, and said to him, "When the servant of Nebka goes into the pool to bathe, as is his new daily custom, throw this crocodile into the pool behind him." The day following, the wife of Uba'aner summoned the steward of the garden and said to him, "Let the house in the garden be made ready, so I might relax in there." The house was then prepared with all good things, and she came and made joyous copulations with the servant of Nebka therein. When the evening came, the servant went forth to bathe in the pool as was his new daily custom. The steward came there and cast the waxen crocodile into the pool behind the servant of Nebka. Behold, it there became a great crocodile, 7 cubits in length, and seized the servant, taking him to the waters below. Uba'aner spent 7 days in the palace of the king of Upper and Lower Egypt, Nebka the Blessed, while the servant of Nebka was restrained inside the crocodile. After those 7 days had passed, the king of Upper and Lower Egypt, Nebka the Blessed, went forth with Uba'aner to return to his home. Uba'aner said to his majesty, "Will your majesty come and see this wonder that has come to pass in your 7 days to your servant?" So the king came to the garden pool with Uba'aner. The Hekai lector called forth to his crocodile and commanded, "Bring forth the servant of King Nebka, the Blessed." The crocodile then came forth from the pool and spewed forth the servant of Nebka. Uba'aner said to the king, "See, whatever I command this crocodile, he will do it." His majesty said, I pray you send back this crocodile. Uba'aner knelt and took up the crocodile, and it became in his hand the waxen crocodile of 7 fingers in length. Uba'aner then told the king that which had passed in his house with the king's servant and his wife. His majesty then said to the crocodile, "Take to yourself your prey." The crocodile then grew to its great length, plunged into the lake with his prey, and no man knew whither he went. His majesty, the king of Upper and Lower Egypt, Nebka the Blessed, commanded they bring forth the wife of Uba'aner, and it was done so. She was taken to the north side of the harem, and was burnt with fire, and her ashes cast into the Nile. This is a wonder that came to pass in the days of our forefather, the king of Upper and Lower Egypt, Nebka, of the acts of the chief lector, Uba'aner. His majesty, the king of Upper and Lower Egypt, Khufu, then said, "Let there be presented to the king Nebka the Blessed 1,000 bread and 100 draughts of beer, an ox, 2 jars of incense, and let there be presented a loaf, a jar of beer, a jar of incense, and a piece of meat to the chief lector Uba'aner, for I have seen the wisdom of his learning." These offerings were then carried out as his majesty commanded. Tale of Ba'u-Ephra. The royal son Ba'u-Ephra stood forth and spoke. He said, "I will tell your majesty a wonder which came to pass in the days of your father Sneferu, the blessed, of the deeds of the chief lector Sa'imankh. One day King Sneferu, being weary, went through the various rooms of his Perak palace, seeking for a pleasure to balance his heart. But alas, he found none. He called his chamberlain and ordered of him, "Make haste! Bring before me the chief lector and scribe of the rolls, Sa'imankh." And he was brought straight away. The king said, "I have sought in my Perak for some delight, but I have found none." Sa'imankh said to him, "Let your majesty go on the lake of the Perak, and let there be made ready a boat with all the fair women of your harem of the Perak. The heart of your majesty shall be refreshed with the sight of their rowing up and down the water, seeing the goodly pools of the birds on the lake, and beholding its sweet fields and grassy shores. Your heart will be balanced. I will also go with your majesty." The king then ordered, "Bring me 20 oars of ebony inlaid with gold, with blades of light wood inlaid with electrum, and bring me 20 harem women, fair in their limbs, their breasts, and their hair, all pure. Bring me 20 nets, and give these nets to the women for their garments." This they did according to all the commands of his majesty. They rowed up and down the lake, and the heart of his majesty was glad with the sight of their rowing. One of them at the steering then struck her hair, and her jewel of new malachite fell into the water. She ceased her song, and rowed not. Her companions then ceased and rowed not. His majesty said, "Row you not further?" They replied, "Our little steerer here stays and rows not." His majesty then said to her, "Why do you not row?" She replied, "It is for my jewel of new malachite which has fallen into the water." He said to her, "Row on, for see, I will replace it." She answered, "But I want my own piece back in its setting." His majesty said, "Make haste, bring me the chief lector Sa'imankh." And he was brought. His majesty said to him, "Sa'imankh, my brother, I have done as you instructed, and my heart of my majesty is refreshed at the sight of their rowing. Now a jewel of new malachite of one of the little ones has fallen into the water. She ceases and rows not, and she has spoiled the rowing of her side. I said to her, 'Why do you not row?' She answered me, 'It is the jewel of new malachite that has fallen into the water.' I replied to her, 'Row on, for see, I will replace it.' She answered me, 'I want my own piece again back into its setting.' The chief lector Sa'imankh spoke his authoritative utterance. He placed one part of the waters of the lake upon the other, and discovered the jewel lying upon a shard. He took it and returned it to its mistress. The water, which was 12 cubits deep in the middle, reached now to 24 cubits after he turned it. He spoke using his authoritative utterance, and brought again the water of the lake to its place. His Majesty spent a joyful day in the hole of his para. Sat Sayamonk, the chief lector, was awarded all good things. See, this is a wonder that came to pass in the days of your father, the king of Upper and Lower Egypt. Sneferu, and the deeds of the chief lector, the scribe of the rolls, Sat Sayamonk. Said the Majesty of the King of Upper and Lower Egypt, Khufu, the Blessed, let there be presented an offering of 1,000 cakes, 100 draughts of beer, 2 jars of incense to the King of Upper and Lower Egypt, Sneferu, the Blessed. Let there also be given a loaf, a jar of beer, and a jar of incense to the Chief Lector, the Scribe of the Rolls, Sat Sayamonk, for I have seen the wisdom of his learning. These offerings were then carried out as His Majesty commanded. Tale of Kher-Jadef. The royal son Kher-Jadef then stood forth and spoke. He said, Thus far you have only heard tales of those who have gone before, and of which no man knows their truth. But I will show your Majesty a man of your own days. His Majesty said, Who is he, Kher-Jadef? The royal son Kher-Jadef answered, It is a certain man named Jedi, dwells at Jedesneferu. He is a man, 110 years old. He eats 500 loaves of bread, a side of beef, and drinks 100 draughts of beer in his day. He knows how to restore the head that has been cleaved off. He knows how to cause the lion to follow him, trailing his halter on the ground. He knows the designs of the dwelling of Jehuti, god of wisdom. The Majesty of the King of Upper and Lower Egypt, Khufu the Blessed, has sought long for the designs of the dwelling of Jehuti, that he may make the like of them in his pyramid. His Majesty said, You, yourself, Kher-Jadef, my son, bring him to me. The ships were made ready for the king's son, Kher-Jadef, and he went up the river to Jedesneferu. When the ship docked at the haven, he landed and sat him on a litter of ebony, the poles of which were of cedar wood overlaid with gold. When he drew near to Jedi, they sat down the litter, and Kher-Jadef rose to meet Jedi. They found him lying on a palm stick couch at the door of his house. One servant held his head and rubbed him, while another rubbed his feet. The king's son, Kher-Jadef, said, Your state is that of one who lives to good old age, for old age is the end of our voyage, the time of Seruch, the embalming, the time of Keres, the burial. Lie, then, in the sun, free of illness, without the babble of old age. This is the greeting of old age. I come from far to call you, and a message from my father Khufu, the Blessed, for you shall eat of the best which the king gives, and of the food which those have who follow after him, that he may bring you in good health to my fathers who are in the tomb. Jedi replied to him, Satisfaction to you! Satisfaction to you, Kher-Jadef, son of the king, beloved of his father! May your father Khufu the Blessed raise you. May he advance you amongst the elders. May your Ka spirit prevail against the enemy. May your soul know the right road to the gate of him who clothes the afflicted. This is the greeting to the king's son. The king's son, Kher-Jadef, stretched forth his hands to him and raised him up. He went with him to the haven, giving him his arm. Jedi said, Let me be given a boat, bring my youths and books. There were made ready for him 2 boats with their rowers. Jedi went down the river in the bark in which was the king's son Kher-Jadef. When he had reached the Perak, the king's son Kher-Jadef entered in to give account to His Majesty, the King of Upper and Lower Egypt, Khufu the Blessed. The king's son Khedadef said, O king, life, prosperity, health, my lord, I have brought Jedi. His Majesty replied, Bring him to me speedily. His Majesty went into the hall of the columns of Pharaoh, life, prosperity, health, and Jedi was led before him. His Majesty said, Why is it, Jedi, that I have not yet seen you? Jedi answered, He who is called is he that comes. The king, life, prosperity, health, calls me, and I come. His Majesty said, Is it true, that which men say, that you can restore the head which is cleaved off? Jedi replied, Truly, I know that, O king, life, prosperity, health, my lord. His Majesty said, Let one bring me a prisoner who is imprisoned, that his punishment may be fulfilled. Jedi said, Let it not be a man, O king, my lord. See, we do not do thus to our cattle. A duck was then brought to him, and his head was cut off. The duck was laid on the west side of the hall, and its head on the east side of the hall. Jedi spoke his Cheka speech, and the duck fluttered along the hall, with its head acting likewise. When it had come together again, the duck stood and quacked. They brought likewise a goose before him, and he did the same to it. His Majesty caused an ox to be brought, and its head cast upon the ground. Jedi spoke his Cheka speech, and the ox stood upright behind him, following him with his halter trailing on the ground. King Khufu said, Is it true what is said, that you know the number of the designs of the dwelling of Jehuti? Jedi replied, Pardon me, I know not their number, O king, life, prosperity, health, but I know where they are. His Majesty said, Where is it? Jedi replied, There is a chest of wheatstone in a chamber named the House of Plans in Iunu, Heliopolis. In that chest lie the plans. Jedi further said to him, O king, life, prosperity, health, my lord, is it not me that is to bring them to you? His Majesty said, Who then is that shall bring them to me? Jedi answered him, It is the eldest of the three children who are in the body of Rud-Jidet who shall bring them to you. His Majesty said, Would that it may be as you say, who is this Rud-Jidet? Jedi replied, She is the wife of the priest of Ra, lord of Sakhabu. She has conceived these three sons by Ra, lord of Sakhabu. The god has promised her that they shall fulfill this noble office, reigning over all the land, and that the eldest of them shall be high priest in Iunu. His Majesty's heart became troubled for this, but Jedi spoke to him, What is this that you think, O king, life, prosperity, health, my lord? Is it because of these three children? I tell you, your son shall reign, and your son's son, and then one of them. His Majesty said, When shall Rud-Jidet bear these? He replied, She shall bear them on the 26th of the month Tebi. His Majesty said, When the banks of the canal of Letopolis are cut, I will walk there, that I may see the temple of Ra, lord of Sakhabu. Jedi replied, Then I will cause that there be 4 cubits of water by the banks of the canal of Letopolis. When His Majesty returned to his Pirah, His Majesty said, Let them place Jedi in the house of the royal son Kherjadef, that he may dwell with them, and let then give him a daily portion of 1,000 loaves, 100 draughts of beer, an ox, and 100 branches of onions. They did everything as His Majesty commanded. One day it came to pass that Rud-Jidet felt the pains of birth. The Majesty of Ra, lord of Sakhabu, said to Isis, to Nebethut, to Meshkenet, to Heket, and to Khnumu, Go and deliver Rud-Jidet of these 3 children that she shall bear, who are to fulfill this noble office over all this land, that they may build up your temples, furnish your altars with offerings, supply your tables of libation, and increase your endowments. Then went these deities, their fashion they made as that of dancing girls, and Khnumu was with them as servant. They drew near to the house of Ra'user, and found him standing with his robe fallen. They played before him with their instruments of music. He said to them, "My ladies, see, here is a woman who feels the pains of birth." They said to him, "Let us see her, for we know how to help her." He replied, "Come then." They entered in straightway to Rujidet, and they closed the door on her. Nebuchadnezzar stood behind her, and Hecate helped her. Isis said, "O child, by your name of Usuref, do not do violence." The child came up upon her hands as a child of a cubit. Its bones were strong, the beauty of its limbs were like gold, its hair was like true lapis lazuli. They washed and prepared him, and placed him on a carpet on the brickwork. Then Meshkenet approached him and said, "This is a king who shall reign over all the land." Khnumu gave strength to his limbs. Then Isis stood before her, and Nebuchadnezzar stood behind her, and Hecate helped her. Isis said, "O child, by your name of Khaku, remain not in darkness in her." The child came upon her hands, a child of a cubit. Its bones were strong, the beauty of its limbs was like gold, and its hair was like true lapis lazuli. Meshkenet approached him and said, "This is a king who shall reign over all the land." Khnumu gave strength to his limbs. They washed and prepared him, and laid him on a carpet on the brickwork. The deities went out, having delivered Rujidet of the three children. They said, "Rejoice, O Ra'user, for see, three children are born to you." He said to them, "My ladies, what shall I give you? See, give this bushel of barley here to your servant, that you may take it as your reward to the brew house." Khnumu loaded himself with the bushel of barley, and they went away towards the place from which they came. Isis spoke to these goddesses and said, "Why have we come without doing a marvel for these children, that we may tell it to their father who has sent us?" They then made divine plumes of the king, life, prosperity, health, and laid them in the bushel of barley. They caused the clouds to come with wind and rain, and turned back again into the house. They said, "Let us put this barley in a closed chamber, sealed up, until we return northward dancing." So it was placed as suggested. Rujidet purified herself with a purification of 14 days. She said to her handmaid, "Is the housemaid ready?" She replied, "All things are made ready, but the brewing barley is not yet brought." Rujidet said, "Why the brewing barley is not yet brought?" The servant answered, "It would all of it long since be ready if the barley had not been given to the dancing girls, and lay in the chamber under their seal." Rujidet said, "Go down and bring of it. Ra'user shall give them in its stead when he shall come." The handmaid went and opened the chamber. She heard talking and singing, music and dancing, quavering, and all things which are performed for a king in his chamber. She returned and told Rujidet all that she had heard. She went through the chamber, but she found not the place where the sound was. She laid her temple to the sack, and found that the sounds were in it. She placed it in a chest, put that in another chest, and tied it fast with leather. This she laid it in the room where the goods were, and sealed it. Ra'user came returning from the field, and Rujidet repeated to him these things. His heart was glad above all things. They sat down and made a joyful day. After these days it came to pass that Rujidet was angry with her servant, and beat her with a reed. The servant said to those that were in the house, "Shall this be done to me? She has borne 3 kings. I will go and tell this to His Majesty King Khufu the Blessed." She went and found the eldest brother of her mother, who was binding his flax on the floor. He said to her, "Why come you to me? Shall I agree to treachery?" He then took a bunch of flax to her and laid on her a violent blow. The servant went to fetch a handful of water, and a crocodile carried her away. Ancient Egyptian Literature is a production of Kemet Radio. Visit on the web at kemetradio.net. Contact us at kemetradio@jebba.org. Kemet Radio is brought to you by Petah Jebba, Temple to Horus of Bekhtet, and non-profit organization for the reconstruction of ancient Egyptian culture. Visit Petah Jebba online at djeba.org.